CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, this is live radio coming at you. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon to do this very thing, and that's to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events, and see if we're really following God's word or the traditions of men. You know, I find so often people will substitute the ideas of men in place of true word of God. And that's why Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so how much and how important is it that we know God's word? So if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call, 8888-ASK-CSN. Got some lines open, so you're sure to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente, California, and also comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer, his program, A Daily Walk. Hi, and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be back here with you on this Tuesday. Looking forward to our hour together and answering questions from our friends around the country. And it's just always a pleasure. So thankful to be a part of it today.
Hey, you're a busy little boy. I hear rumors. You're going to be back in Tennessee. You're going to be in Southern Idaho and Boise at a men's conference, as well as the one back east. Tell us about these.
All right. Well, appreciate you asking. Coming up here, August 7th and 8th, we will be at the 2026 Middle Tennessee Men's Conference. If you're out there in Columbia, this will be held at Calvary Chapel of Columbia this coming weekend. Looking forward to being out there with you. And if you can come through, I would go to Calvary Chapel, Columbia, and you can register. And then also, as you mentioned, Mike, we're going to be coming up to your neck of the woods for the Treasure Valley Men's Conference. Looking forward to that. It's going to be exciting. August 29th. Tickets go on sale August 29th. But again, a great opportunity to be a part of that men's conference up there in where are you at again?
We're in Twin Falls. We're kind of in the middle of the state. Boise's a little bit farther north and towards the west side of the state. And a lot of people live up in that area, some 600,000 people. So if you're in that area, and we have a couple of stations that are covering the Boise Valley, Treasure Valley area. And I know John would love to see you if you come up that way. Again, where are you going to be?
Well, it's going to be the venue, actually, is the Center at Canyon County Fair, which is in Caldwell, Idaho. And it's going to be an all-day event. It's going to be the center at Canyon County Fairground starts at 7 a.m. That's when the parking opens. Doors open at 8, and it goes for the day. So it's going to be just a bunch of guys coming together. Some great speakers, Mike, lined up. We've got Chad Williams, former U.S. Navy SEAL, best-selling author, keynote speaker. Ryan Reese, who is now living up there in the Boise area, Eagle area, I think somewhere up there from the Whosoevers. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a great, great time. Looking forward to it.
And that's Raul Reese's son, for everybody that was wondering. The name Reese goes, that sounds familiar. Well, that's Raul Reese's son. And, you know, Ryan, with his small children, he said, I want to have a little better environment for them than the mess in Southern California. So he and his family moved up there. Now he does go down and see his dad and speak there at the church there at Golden Springs, right there by Pomona. But he hangs out here in Twin Falls sometimes, as well as all the things he's doing in Boise. And so, anyhow, I think that will be a great conference to go to there towards the end of the month. And so you want to write that on your calendar. What you teaching on this Sunday?
Well, it's going to be a while. We're going to be in the Gospel according to Mark. So we'll be continuing our study there. Now in the 8th chapter, and then on Wednesday nights, our midweek study, which is tomorrow, starts at 6:30 p.m., we're starting a brand new study, Mike. We're going through the book of Isaiah. So heading back to the Old Testament, making our way through the book of Isaiah, looking forward to what the Lord has for us.
Amen. You know, this Sunday morning, I'm going to be teaching on the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, Jesus gave a lot of illustrations of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have some very unusual concept of heaven. They think it's an everlasting kegger. They think it's going to be up there partying down with all their friends. But we're going to talk about what is heaven really like. Mm. Not from my perspective, but what Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And we're going to look at those little pictures of heaven that Jesus gave us, the principles behind what heaven is like. So, you know, again, we'll be no stranger there. When you get there, you're going to go, oh, I remember studying about this. It's going to be a great time. Starts at 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio, on all the CSN radio stations, Mountain Daylight Time. It's a mouthful. Mountain Daylight Time, just adjust your clock. And, of course, around the world on the internet. And we're just going to be studying God's Word together. So, yeah, John, again, your service times.
Service times on Sunday morning, 7:30, 9 o'clock, 10:45, and 12:30. If you can join us, love to have you.
So I think we'll have a good time. Again, 8888. Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call right now. Let's go to Mark in Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike and John. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How can we help?
Great, brother.
Good, good. So I have I had a question yesterday, but I have a prayer today instead of questions. So our little town in Grove, Oklahoma, we just God blessed us with a new church that we're going to be moving into, okay?
Yes.
And it was a movie theater. So I just ask for prayer for my pastor, Pastor Robert, and Pastor Scott Epperson, Pastor Robert Carter, to strengthen them through this journey of transition and strengthen our church and fill the seats. And I just ask that the Lord just bless this journey that he's taken us on and strengthen us all. So if I could get prayers through you and everybody out there in the world that's hearing this, we do much need it.
Well, we'll certainly do that. What was your question?
Well, my question was, yesterday there was a lady that called and she said that that the Mother Mary statue, how they had statues that were crying, and she asked if it could be Mary, maybe Mary crying from heaven because of Mary looking down on the earth and seeing that people aren't worshiping Jesus, you know what I mean?
Yes,
and
I remember.
And she was
that.
Crying because of that. And my question was this. Now, I thought that there was no crying in heaven. We don't cry in heaven.
Well, the Bible says God wipes away every tear from our eyes when we're in heaven.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those tears are over. I don't know whether they're tears of remorse. In other words, oh God, I'm so sorry. I wish I had done so much more. I wasted so much of my life on things that didn't matter. Maybe those are the tears. Maybe it's possible that it would be tears for our loved ones that didn't make it. Maybe it might be just tears of our wicked lifestyles that we had here on this earth. And even though Jesus forgave us for them, we're embarrassed when we get there. I don't know, but the Bible says he wipes away the tears from our eyes. Maybe the tears are what we saw on this earth in the name of humanity that are so wicked. If as most of you've heard in Twin Falls here, we had a terrible shooting here at a new restaurant that had opened. And then he went over and shot up Teslas and he was sticking his middle finger out at the Tesla cars. It sounds like a radicalized person from the middle of last year when they were going around burning all the Tesla dealerships and breaking the windows out and scratching the paint. Well, he shot up two Teslas at the charging station, didn't bother anybody else. So we realize that we're in a very fallen world, and maybe some of those tears are that. I don't know. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a person who would adhere to the weeping statues of Mary. I don't think that those are. I think the devil also can do signs and wonders, and he can make things happen. Whether those, again, I wasn't on the program yesterday, but just to comment on the weeping statue of Mary. You know, Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And, you know, people who say, oh, I saw Mary, you know, weeping, or maybe there was another time where there was apparently blood on the statue and so forth. And, you know, I test all those claims. I don't buy into it myself. I think the Lord has given us everything that we need, as it relates to who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished. The empty tomb is the greatest sign ever given, and we can be assured of that. And so, yeah, I'm not a fan or a believer in the miraculous of, you know, Mary statues weeping and so forth. So that's my take on it, Mike. I don't know.
Somebody called up and I said, well, you know, I don't know about that, but I will say that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus.
That's
Mary
right.
did not die for your sins. Even in the in her statement, when she heard that she was going to give birth to to Jesus, she said, "I rejoice right. in God, my Savior." She recognized she needed a Savior. If she was a co-redemptress, she wouldn't have needed a Savior. She would have been the Savior. But no, there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. We want to be careful not to add to God's word, and we want to be very careful not to take away from it as well. So, Mark, I hope that helps. And again, John, why don't you lead us in prayer concerning their new building they're moving into and all those things?
Yeah, that's exciting. I just want to say, as it relates to church planting, that's a big step. You know, I know over the years we've moved into different facilities, and I know that's a great opportunity. It's wonderful when, you know, I've met in places where we had to pack everything up, pull everything down, and it's nice when you have a home and you feel like, hey, we're established in the community. And so we're going to pray, Mark, for your church and ask that the Lord would bless the pastors there. And so let's do that now. Father, thank you so much for opening a door for this church, Lord, to have a place to set up in the middle of their community. God, I just pray for all of the resources that they're going to need. I pray for all the help. Lord, it's an exciting time when you make this kind of a move. And but I just pray for the pastors that you give them tremendous wisdom, guidance. I pray that people would hear about the church. I pray that these men would be faithful to teach the word of God. And Lord, as they faithfully teach the word, that the people would come and grow and receive. And so thank you for a church being planted and established there in that area, God. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Mark, it's great news. And we pray that the Lord does a great work there in Grove, Oklahoma. Stay on the line. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. If you need more for your church, let me know. Great way to get saved and understand your need for salvation. So stay on the line. Mark will get you taken care of, okay?
All right, thanks, pastors. Love you guys.
Love you, too. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Again, 8888, ask CSN. And, you know, John, as we are looking at all these different things going on in our world, you know, I was looking at the internet today, and I saw this guy, nicely dressed. At first, he was talking, sounded like Christianity, and then he went into a tirade on Israel, how terrible Israel is. And that Israel was the number one exporter of human trafficking and all this stuff. Well, I decided, I wrote a couple of things down. I fact-checked this guy. Everything he said was a lie. The guy was, and there, you know, there's kind of a guy above him, kind of like listening to him, kind of a Joe Rogan thing. And then he's down below in this tie, an older guy. But I was going to tell everybody, you know, if you're going to try to rewrite history, you better make sure that the people who witnessed it firsthand are dead. Because I remember when Israel was attacked by the Arabs, and he's saying, Israel causes all the wars. They didn't cause October 7th. They didn't cause the Six-Day War. They didn't cause the wars before that. This guy was a liar and a complete anti-Semite. You've got to be extremely careful what you read on the internet, and you've got to be even more careful what you hear coming from the major American news medias. I was watching this on Fauci and how ABC and NBC and CNN, oh, everything, you know, you evil people won't take the vaccination and all this stuff. Then we find out in Fauci's notes that it wasn't good at all. These people were merchandising the world and America. And I look at that and I go, here we believe them. So many people are dead because they took these vaccinations that weren't really ever tested. I warned everybody back when this was coming out, don't do that. You've got to study a vaccination for 20 years before you find out what it's really going to do to your body. And they just whipped this through. And then they made it so you couldn't sue the people who were making the vaccination because they knew it was going to kill people. And I look at that, and then I hear the American news media, oh, Joe Biden is sharp as a tack as they lied to America over and over and over again. Listen, friends, don't believe the mainline American news media. There's something wrong. And when we see that, we have to be aware that we are living in an age of deception. You know, the Bible says, and John, I want you to talk a little bit about this, but when the rapture comes, the Bible says a strong delusion will be sent upon the people that they believe a lie. And since we're lied to so regularly, they're going to have to explain, where do the people go that were raptured? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's, we're learning. I think there was a time, I think years ago, when you trusted the sources of media, when you believed what you heard, and it seemed that it was credible to a certain extent. But certainly things have changed, and everybody reports on everything. And we live in an age where anybody can be a media person. Anybody can have a platform. And if people listen to them, they'll listen to them. And it's definitely one of the tools, I think, that the enemy uses to bring about deception. And I tell you, that was something that we all went through. And I don't think it's the last time we're going to see something like that. But you're talking about things prophetically that'll take place, where Paul comments in 2 Thessalonians that the coming of the lawless one, that is the Antichrist, is going to be, according to the working of Satan, he's going to come with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with, it says, with unrighteous deception among those whom perish. And it says the reason why they perish is because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, for that reason, rejecting the truth, God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's really what it comes down to. They didn't receive the truth, and they had pleasure in unrighteousness or sin. And so God gave them over to a strong delusion. And I think what we're seeing now is only a precursor to what will come when the light of this world and the influence of the Holy Spirit through the church is removed. I think that deception only grows, and people are going to believe. They're going to latch on to these things. And I think we've seen, can I say, a dress rehearsal of the ability that one particular thing can influence the entire world. To me, it's like, that's a heads up. Like it's coming again at some point, but, that's why we need to be discerning, Mike. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to study God's Word. We need to know the Scriptures. We need to be like the Bereans, test these things, whether they're actually so, if they're from God, just because somebody says it, just because they have, you know, letters behind their name, or because they have a platform on YouTube or whatever, yeah, check it all. Make sure, check it by the Word of God.
Yeah. Because we realize that, deception is the devil's main game. You know, the devil's not going to tell you the truth about your drinking habit. Devil's not going to tell you the truth about your drug habit. Devil's not going to tell you the truth about a narcissistic attitude. The devil wants to make you think you're right. You're in control. It's all about you, baby. And instead, doesn't show you that you get a diagnosis from the doctor that you're dying of liver cancer. It doesn't show you that you've destroyed your health through the drugs. See, the devil says, live for the moment. It all that matters, if it feels good, do it. Never mind the consequences. You know, God loves us like any of you love your children, and you see them doing something foolish. You know the long-term behavior of that pattern will lead to destruction in their life. And so you correct your children, because even though they may enjoy eating hot fudge sundaes morning, noon, and night, it's going to result in some serious health issues, not to mention no teeth. So when we look at this, this is what God does. When he comes in our life, he opens our eyes up to what's in the future, not only concerning the world, not only concerning the direction of our life, but just those things in our life in a daily means that we can understand, wow, God, thank you for letting me see where this is going to lead me. I think one of the greatest things that God has done in my life, you know, I'll be sitting down, I'll be eating some ice cream or something, and all of a sudden I'll get a thought, boy, I want more of that. And it's like the Lord says, not good for you. Yeah, you're right. And then I pass on that. You see, why? Because you start thinking more in the future than just for right now. You know, the Bible says God sees us already seated with him in heavenly places. Hey, listen, when you're having a bad day, I want to just encourage you, see yourself the way God sees you. In the future, seated with him in heavenly places. Hey, this earth, we're just a passing through. This isn't what reality is for a believer. This is just what we go through to get where God's going to keep us forever. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're going through something really tough in your life right now, and you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to do, I just want to tell you, hey, God's got the answer. You know, I think, John, we've seen this so many times in our lives and so many times in people's lives. And, you know, it is true that God opens our eyes to the things in the future, not only in the Bible, not only in our personal lives, but also in those things that we do each day and what it will do to us in the future. Your thoughts?
Well, I think probably the best thing about the scriptures is that it does, you know, the Lord does reveal things to be concerned about, to watch out for, things to run away from as well. And where, because if you don't, where they will lead, and also things to run after and where that will lead, in the blessings of following the Lord. And I think there's both warning and reward. And as you go through the scriptures, you can really learn really the best way to live. And I think for our CSN listeners, I would encourage them to, and myself included, just to be people of the word. I know that's what we emphasize, that we always say this is, you know, CSN, that's where God's word is heard. And we mean that. We mean that this is the place where we want to make sure that the scriptures are going forth in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, so that people can grow. That is how you grow as a Christian, going deep in your walk with the Lord. And I would say, listen, if you're listening today, and you got some questions just about what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And hey, can you help me with this? I've always, if there's one question today, you're listening and you think, you know what? There's one question I've always wanted to ask, and I was too afraid to call, but I didn't want to answer. Can you call us here? 8888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines that are opening up, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're in California, come on, I know you got questions. Call us up. Love to hear from you. But yeah, Mike, I think I've just found that what the Bible says, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I've just, I don't always know where I'm going, but I'm thankful that the Lord knows where he's going. I was sharing with the church this weekend. We were talking about how the Lord doesn't change, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book of Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same in an unchanging world. Listen, CSN listeners, in an unchanging world, it's good to know that God doesn't change. He's consistent and he's trustworthy, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, when everything around us is shifting sand, it's really nice that we have a God that is not affected by trends and fads and what's Gucci and what's not. All this stuff that goes on in the world, he remains stable. And you know, you cannot build a house on ground that is not stable. You cannot build your life on that which is not stable. In other words, if it's wrong today, it's wrong tomorrow. If it's right today, it'll be right tomorrow. It doesn't matter what society says, because the Bible says in the last days, they're going to say what is good is evil and evil is good. So we have to be very, very careful in patterning our lives according to this. Now, Paul says this, I become all things to all men that I may win some. But that does not mean he became a drug addict to minister to drug addicts. But it did mean he might go to where drug addicts were. See, there's a difference. We never lose the innocency of the gospel to preach the gospel. I think that's so important. Back to the phones. Justin's on the line in New Mexico. Hi and welcome.
I had a question. So I'm looking more for advice, actually. I'm a younger believer, and I feel myself kind of falling away from the faith. And that's kind of hard for me. I grew up in the church. And I'm just looking to get back into the church, but people like me, younger folks, are seeing a lot of shortcomings and downfalls from people in, like, leadership positions in churches. What's your advice to the younger generation of Christians who see these but still want to be involved in the church? How do we find a good church?
Your thoughts, John.
Yeah, that's a great question, Justin. And I'm very thankful that, first of all, let me just say this, and we're getting close to a break here, but I want to just say that I'm really thankful that you're coming back. You know, it's amazing to me how many times the Lord says in his word, return, more than he says turn. And I think I'm praising God today, Justin, that you have, the Spirit of God isn't done with you, that he's seeking to draw you back in. And although you've drifted, the Lord has been seeking to, he's a good shepherd. He comes after us. And I don't know all your testimony and how he came after you, but I know he loves you and he's bringing you back in. And so I think it is important to find a good church. But let me just start out by saying this, and this probably is not going to come as a shock to anybody listening today, but there are no perfect churches. In fact, somebody told me one time, John, if you find a perfect church, don't go there because you'll ruin it. He was joking, but I know what he meant by that. But I think there really isn't a perfect church, but there is a perfect God. I mean, the church is a place where there's broken people. There's people in the process of being healed by the Lord. We're all at different stages of growth. And there is, I will say, there should be accountability for leadership. I think there has to be a standard for leadership. You don't just lay hands on anybody quickly and put them in a position. And I think that's something we have to be careful of. So in looking for a good church for me, and what I encourage others, Justin, is do they teach the Bible? Do they open the Bible? Do people have Bibles? Is it just a social gathering, or am I really growing in the Lord? Is it entertainment driven? Is it program driven? What is the emphasis? And I think a great model for looking for a church is Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it says they kept themselves in the word, kept themselves in the apostles' doctrine, kept themselves in prayer and in fellowship. Those are the things you look for. And, you know, my pastor used to say there's all different churches that minister to all different kinds of people. And when we come back on this second half, stick around, Justin. I want to talk to you a little bit more. And let's go a little bit deeper into what to look for when you're looking for a church. So stick around. Pastor Mike and I'll be right back.
We'll be right back right after this.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of Terry and Matt Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente, California. If you're in the area, I know he'd love to see you. Be sure to stop in, say hi. And again, it's always a blessing to meet our radio listening audience. And if you're in the southern Idaho area, we'd love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship. Follow the signs to the Shoshone Falls. And we're on the way to the waterfall about a mile away. And so we just want to invite you to come and get blessed by God. This Sunday, we're going to be going over What is the kingdom of heaven like? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, and we're going to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like. I think you need to know that. You don't have to wait till you get there to know. And so we're going to be studying that together. 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio, on the CSN stations, Mountain Standard Time, and I know you'll enjoy it. And of course, around the world on the internet. Going back to the phones, we have Justin on the line. And John, you were saying.
Yeah, Justin, again, Justin was asking the question, what's a good way to find a good church? And again, I think just a couple things that I would be concerned about is the Word of God taught faithfully?
Yes.
Because that's the primary responsibility of church leadership, to feed God's people. And that's, if the Bible's not central, then that would be a serious concern to me. If the Bible's an afterthought, if I get there and it's just, you know, nothing but stories and nobody ever cracks the Bible open and we never really get into the Word, I would be concerned. The other thing I would be concerned about and look for is the gospel clear? Did they use the word sin, repentance, grace, faith, the cross, resurrection, the name of Jesus? I mean, this is so important today. How about you mentioned leadership? Are the leaders qualified? According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, according to the book of Titus chapter 1, those are the qualifications you look for. And those qualifications would include humility, integrity, faithfulness, self-control, sound doctrine, servant leadership. Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And then another thing I would say, Justin, is there genuine love there? And by that, you remember Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Not perfect love. Again, Jesus is the one that has perfect love, but growing love. Are we growing in love? And those are some things that I think are really important. And as it relates to the truth and finding a good church to be a part of. And then I would say, get involved, Justin. Once you find that place, just jump in. You know, learn to serve. That's a great way to get to know. Some people come to church and it's almost like people will sometimes say to me, I'm church shopping. You know, like I'm going to Target. If they don't have it, I'm going to Walmart. And if Walmart doesn't have it, well, then I'm going to go to Costco. I mean, it's almost like it's a consumer aspect as opposed to like, what can I contribute to this? And so once you find that spot, man, just get in there and be part of the body. And I'll be praying, Justin, that you find a good, solid home church to grow in your faith. And I'm just proud of you for coming back, brother.
Amen, Justin. It's so good news to hear that. I want to send you a little book called Time to Grow. I think it'll really encourage you, as well as a couple other things I'll send you. I think you'll enjoy that, okay?
All right. Thank you, pastors.
God bless you, yeah, Justin.
Bless you, brother.
And again, just look, you know, you can fake a lot of things in church, but you really can't fake the Holy Spirit. You know, don't confuse the Holy Spirit with cheerleading. Give me a J, give me an E, give me an S. You know, that's hype. But you know, when you really see the anointing of God, God all of a sudden just wells up inside of you. And there's this emotion that you just go, wow, God, this is so amazing and so real. And you know, just being in the presence of God transforms your life. We're seeing that here at our church. Our church is almost doubling, not quite by the month, but almost. And we're seeing such a move of God that I haven't seen, honestly, since the tent years ago in Costa Mesa. It's just amazing to see the way God is moving on people. And we find people that will come up to us and say, whatever you got, we want. You know, we're not going out there beating them over the head with a Bible. They're coming up and saying, you have hope. We want this. We had a baptism out in a public place a couple of weeks ago. We had seven people scheduled to be baptized. And after those seven were baptized, there was more people that were watching in the crowd. And they came down and said, we want what you've got. And we led them to Christ. They got baptized, a total of five. It's just amazing what God is doing in these days. And so I just, Justin, want to encourage you, really just look for that fruit of the Spirit in the fellowship. And I'll tell you, that's going to say a lot in directing where God wants you to be. In other words, go where you would be proud to bring somebody to. Somebody that's not swinging on chandeliers or falling asleep in the chairs. You want that they would actually hear the Word of God. And I think that's so important. Say hello, Justin. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Paul, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike, you guys, great to hear, great to have you, or great to have your broadcast, sir, guys. I wanted to reference something from yesterday about the, as the Catholics call it, Eucharist. I'm a firm believer that that Jesus was giving us an example. He said, "Do this in memory of me."
Yes.
But Mike, this came up at our Bible study one time. And afterwards, it came to me that the priest used to eat the flesh of the sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
and through Genesis 9:4, Leviticus 7:27, and especially Leviticus 17:10-14, we're told for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and not to eat the blood. What I think Jesus was doing with this to the Jewish people is showing them that life is in him. He's the life. Through his blood, we have the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, the idea, and I've heard this stated before, where they said, well, the Old Testament priests ate the sacrifice, yes, but they never drank the blood. And when Jesus held up the cup, he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you." Now, very clearly, all the disciples knew that Jesus didn't slit his wrist and drip it into a cup and say, "Okay, you guys, start drinking," or snap a thumb off and pass it around and say, "Start chewing." No, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he broke the bread. And so it's very...
Yeah, Mike, I think it was... See it as being symbolic to,
yes, absolutely.
To the Jewish people.
Yes.
That because they were told so many times not to eat the blood. But then Jesus, the new covenant, he's saying, now take my blood and absorb. This is your life now. What I'm doing is your life.
Well, it's a new, and like you say, it's a new covenant. No longer do we approach God through the Ten Commandments, the blood of bulls and goats. For redemption, we come to Christ through his own blood. And I we're clothed in his righteousness. John, your thoughts.
1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, knowing that we weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our conduct, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus is the one that fulfilled the requirements of the perfect sacrificial lamb. Everything else in the Old Testament, by the way, when you read through the Old Testament, you come to the book of Leviticus. Some people like to just leap over it. But listen, Leviticus points to ultimately the one sacrifice that would come. And a great commentary on the book of Leviticus is the New Testament book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10 in verse 1, for the law having a shadow, it's a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices make those who approach perfect. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So all of those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were simply a shadow. Jesus is the substance. And so they all just pointed to the ultimate sacrifice offered once for all, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. And so thankful for the blood of Christ that he has cleansed us, washed us, made us whiter than snow.
Amen. I hope that helps, Paul.
Okay, one more thing, Mike. And then, like I say, the priests were actually eating the flesh of the sacrifice as for nourishment. So I think it's all symbolic, Christ at the Last Supper saying, look, eat my flesh and drink my blood, to everyone who might think that the transubstantiation, or however they pronounce that, right, is a real thing there.
Yeah, they believe, the Catholic Church believes in what's called transubstantiation. What that is when you actually put the bread in your mouth, it transforms and becomes an actual protein from a carbohydrate and actually becomes Jesus's body. The Bible doesn't teach this. This is made up, And again, we have to be very careful. Jesus, again, did not snap a thumb off and say, here, chew on this. He didn't slit his wrist into a cup and say, drink this. Any last thoughts on this, John? Because I think it is something that a lot of people wonder about, especially when you've been raised in Catholicism, believing that this is what the Bible says. And in fact, it's not in the Bible at all.
I agree with you. I think that communion is a memorial ordinance, and it's a blessing. The giving of thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus, it was symbolic. It was pointing us to the work of Christ and what he did on the cross. And Jesus even said in that chapter of John, chapter 6, and you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And then later on, he explained to the disciples, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit. I'm symbolizing what's happening here. So to say that it turns into the physical flesh and the physical blood of Jesus is a misappropriation and misunderstanding of the word of God. It does not turn into that. And that is unbiblical and unfortunate that that is practiced today.
So hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for your broadcast. It's excellent.
Well, God bless you. I'm so glad you're listening. Be sure to tell your friends about CSN. Let's go to Randy in Golden Valley, Arizona, out by Kingman. Hi and welcome.
Yeah. Hi, pastors. Yeah, I'm right by Kingman, about 8 miles. Kingman's a really nice little city, desert city. I'm so glad I'm living here. The Lord's bought me a ranch home. He's been really good to me, you know, so from California all my life, but I had to move. So, but anyway, I was going to, two callers back, Justin, I hope you're listening out there. I was going to say, Pastor John is right on target. When you go to church, if you're looking for a church, you're a young man, and you say you're a Christian now, make sure you're rooted truly in the Word of God. Study your Bible for a while and get to know the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and talk before maybe you go to a church, because there's a lot of deception. You got to be rooted in the whole armor of God. And when you go to a church, you're going to know the deception, the deceiving, the false prophets, the false teachers out there. It happened to me when I was about Justin's age. My first church was Melody Land in California. And my mom was passing away. This is 1983 or 1982. I can't remember the exact year. And I went in there to have prayer for my mom. So they were calling an altar call. You'd walk up to the stage, and it was like a circle stage in the Melody Land. And and there's about 12 people standing around. And pastors were coming in behind the person. And then it wasn't Pastor Ralph Wilkerson. It was another pastor, and he would touch the head of the person would fall back, but the other two men were standing back to catch the body.
Real quick on that. You know, John, we've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, televangelists and stuff. Your thoughts on this? Because, again, and what's weird is, you know, people go to church and then the next week, can you top this? What we did last week was good, but this week we're going to even do more. And, you know, then they're swinging on chandeliers, and then feathers are blowing out of the air conditioner vents, and gold dust is flying out of the sky, and all this kind of crazy stuff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say it's just something you should avoid. I would stay away from those places where that's emphasized, you know. And I think the Holy Spirit can move, and the Holy Spirit works, but the Holy Spirit's not going to contradict himself and what the Bible says and not lead us to do things that are unbiblical. And so I think it's important just to be aware of that. And I have a saying, if it seems weird, it probably is. And so I try to avoid those things that, you know, there's a check in your spirit. You have the Holy Spirit within you. And if you're walking in that spirit, when you come across something that's just, it doesn't line up biblically, I think you look for the exit. And, I think that's important. And so I appreciate the call, Randy, and agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you've got some important to find a good solid fellowship, Mike. So,
amen. Randy, thanks so much for the call. And again, I think that is important for all of us to find a church that teaches God's word. Amen. Thanks so much for the call, Ryan. Stay online if you like. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. Let's go to Chuck in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, welcome.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call, and a big fan. Love what you do. Love that you use the Bible just to tell people the plain truth.
Amen.
I've got a question for you though. My two sons have both grown up and become youth pastors, so their Bible knowledge is exceeded mine now, and they're one has convinced the other that more on the predestination side. I've always been heavy in the free will camp, and I've got a friend of mine who is a good friend, and he's always said a person, you've got to be one or the other, but God, he's not limited. He can be both. And so that's kind of where I'd settled, that God, he can be fully in control and theoretically predestined things, but we also have full free will. I guess the question is, do we have limited free will? And where it hits the road, where the rubber hits the road, is do we have limited free will and choosing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior?
Well, sure you do. John 3:16 eliminates all that. For God so loved the world. It does not say for God so loved the predestinated ones. And I wish people would not add to God's word. Whenever you find the word predestined, that is always from God's perspective. The Bible says he sees us seated with him in heavenly places from God's perspective. God does not live in time like we do. He's bigger than time. And so because he's bigger than time, he already sees us for what? But that just because God knows the decisions you, me, and everybody will make does not stop us from making those decisions. When the Bible says, the Great Commission, go preach the gospel to only the predestinated ones, doesn't say that, does it? To every creature. Right there, it knocks the wheels off of predestination. This idea that God has predestined people to go to hell. No, he knows they're going to go to hell because he lives in all times present because of the decisions that they made in rejecting him. But you cannot fault God because they chose to reject him. And so, again, when we understand this, now, it is not that you chose me, I chose you. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. I believe that. The disciples weren't going around saying, I'm going to be a disciple. No, Jesus said, follow me, to Matthew Levi. He went to Peter. From now on, you're going to be catching men. We understand that. But the open door, whosoever will may come, is clear in the scripture. And you go to Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come to only the predestinated ones. No, it doesn't say that. And so what they do is they take God's omnipotence, they take God's foreknowledge and try to break it down into a day-to-day work world that we all live in. They're taking the wrong understanding. Predestination is true from God's perspective. It is not true from ours. That's why, again, God so loved the world. Go preach the gospel to every creature. All these do not exclude anybody. And yet they're saying, oh, no, sure stinks to be you. I get to go to heaven, but you don't. You see, we serve an ogre God that pre-selects who gets to go and who don't. And I'm special and you're not. Some kind of a sick God these guys got. Because when I read the Bible, John 3:16 stands. And by the way, the predestinated people that hold that kind of doctrine, they don't like John 3:16. Kind of knocks the wheels off the bus. Your thoughts?
You know, predestination is, I would say, one of the most discussed doctrines in theology because the Bible clearly teaches both God is sovereign and man has a responsibility. The problem we have is God is infinite and we are finite. So it's very difficult for us in our finite minds to fully comprehend everything there is to comprehend about God. And so the faithful approach is to simply let scripture speak where it speaks and avoid going beyond that. And so let's think about it for a second. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches God is sovereign. We know that, but he's also gracious. He's also merciful. He's also loving. He's also compassionate. But Romans 8:29 tells us whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Ephesians chapter 1 says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all the Father gives me will come to me. So salvation begins with God's grace. We understand that. God is sovereign. But here's the other thing the Bible teaches, that people are responsible to respond. The Bible teaches people must believe. Mike mentioned it, John 3:16. Whoever believes, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God genuinely calls people to repent and believe. God is sovereign in salvation, but also we have a choice to make. And there is the tension. God chooses, people choose. Is there an inconsistency in Scripture? No. God is sovereign, and yet man has a responsibility. You say, how do you reconcile the two? In my finite mind, I cannot. All I can do is accept it. Therefore, when I come to a passage of Scripture that says God is sovereign, that is exactly what I'm going to preach. When I come to a passage of Scripture that says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, that's exactly what I'm going to say. And so I think it's important for us to make that distinction, to remain balanced. And some people don't like that, especially in the Calvinist camp, the Reform camp. They especially like the part that God, as Mike mentioned, in their tulip, that there is that God sends some to hell, like predestines them. Like, in other words, God created, allowed a child to be created, knowing that it was going to go to hell. And so he chose to send it there. I mean, it's just, it's unthinkable to think that that's what the Scriptures teach from Genesis to Revelation. That's not the heart of God. So there is God's sovereignty and there is man's responsibility. Like two rails, imagine on a railroad track. And if you remove either rail, the train derails. Scripture teaches and runs on both. You can accept it or you can try to get doctrinaire with it and try to make it, you know, seem like something, but you're presenting it a different kind of God. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. Spurgeon, he said, how do you reconcile divine sovereignty and human responsibility? And he famously replied, I never reconcile friends. In other words, Scripture presents both, and they're complete, they're truths. They're not enemies of one another. And so for us, that is our a point of view on this, and we stick with what Scripture says. And if somebody is not walking with the Lord, I'm going to call them to make a choice. If somebody thinks, am I truly saved? I mean, I'm walking with the Lord, but am I truly saved? Listen, God's got his hand on you. The Bible teaches both, and that tension is there for a reason, Mike.
Amen. And so I believe that, again, from God's perspective, we are predestined because he already knows who's going to make it. From our perspective, go preach the gospel to every creature. Chuck, I hope that helps.
It does. Amen. Thank you, guys. God is, you know, he's much bigger than us. If we could understand everything, he wouldn't be God. So
well, if God could be contained in time, then he's not God. If God could be contained inside my 3-pound brain, he's not God. He lives outside of our domain. He lives, he's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last, lives in all times present. I don't know anything like that. I can't even comprehend that. But because God lives like that, and the Scripture says, what does it mean? Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. That is what it means. And so he knows everything. God does not learn. And God, because he knows the decisions we will make in our life, I believe he arranges our life to be a blessing to him and puts those supernatural miracles in our life. It's always good to know we have a daddy in heaven. Hope that helps, Chuck. And we're going to go to Jeff, Twin Falls, Idaho. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, I was just wondering, does the Bible say anything that happens to our memory when we pass and go to heaven?
Yes. In fact, the Bible says we will be known as we are known. You're not going to be any dumber there than we are here, I'll tell you. When we get to heaven, we're going to know a whole lot more. But we're going to know as we were known. And I believe these things that we go through on this life are part of our education as we will rule and reign with him someday on this earth. Your thoughts?
Boy, that's a really good question. It's a deep one because there's a lot of things that come up. You know, people say, well, we know one another. Yes, as Mike said, we're going to know each other. When you remember when Moses and Elijah showed up, they on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus recognized them. I think of Paul expected recognition. Remember, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you at his coming? We're going to know one another. But I also think, Mike, there's this whole thing, you know, Isaiah 65:17 says, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. What does that mean? What is it? I think the way we see things is going to be different than we see them now. Obviously, we're going to be like Jesus, and he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. You know, are we going to remember all of these traumatic things? I think the perspective completely changes. We're going to understand, oh, I see now what I didn't fully understand then. So it's a good question. There's a lot that you can, here's what we know for sure. In his presence, is fullness of joy, and at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. So for that, I'm extremely grateful.
Amen. So I hope that answers it for you. And Jeff, does it?
It's a great question.
The shooter in Twin Falls this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah. He could be in heaven. He could be in heaven, right?
Well, if he repented the last minute, but I don't know that he did. So
I don't think so.
I don't know. You know, that's why today is the appointed day of salvation. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. The Bible says to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Because, you know, you may not care about rewards today, but you'll care about them when you're in heaven, and you'll be glad you're getting some. That's why it's important. So, we're out of time, and for Carol and John and the rest, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, John, for being on.
Bless you, Mike.
Look forward to being back with you. So until then, may God keep you in his love. God bless you, and good night.
To Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.